Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 to 40, 10 verses. We'll try and fit this in the half hour we have and try to get an idea of what it is the writer's saying to the people that he's writing this letter to. Before we do that, though, let's bow our heads and ask God to give us understanding and clarity and certainly a idea of what it is he's saying to us. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for each one who's in this house today. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here and in each one. And Father, I just pray that as we now open your word, the Spirit of God will teach us, that he will give us insight into your word and clarity as to the message that you want us to hear. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that we have, the sunshine, and all the rest of it, our health, Father. We're just so grateful that you are with us and in us and that you are working out your perfect plan. So we thank you and praise you now and ask that you teach us and open our minds and give us clarity in Christ's name. Amen. The words go like this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, we've been studying, and the subject has been faith, and we've been talking about different aspects of faith, and one of the things that we're looking at today is that courage of faith. And this passage gives us three ways in which courage demonstrates faith. Number one, it conquers in the struggle. Whatever the struggle is that's going on, it gives you the conquering strength, the enabling power to be faithful through that struggle. Secondly, it continues in suffering. It doesn't give up. It never says it's over. It never walks away. It is a faith that continues in the suffering. And then thirdly, it counts on salvation. It is completely founded on the fact of the promises of God that says we shall be saved. We shall be saved. Now, it reminds me of a story told by an old pastor who was flying. And as he was flying and they were going over the mountains, particular area that they were flying in, the gentleman sat next to him said, you know, I'm kind of nervous up here, and I'm not very good at flying, and so I'm, you know, and he began to talk about his fears to this old pastor. And one of the things that he said was that he didn't understand Christianity. He just doesn't understand it because he just couldn't see how being a Christian could be any fun, or that he'd get any benefit out of it, or that there'd be anything to be exciting about being a Christian. And I related it to a gentleman that I was talking to, because he was saying the same thing to me. He was saying to me, look, I don't understand. You don't have any fun in life. Well, fun for me at this age is different than fun for me at 20. And fun for me at this age is different than fun for me at 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. It all changes. But the fact is, the kind of fun he was talking about wasn't acceptable at any of those ages, because I don't have fun the way he had fun. And so he thought, you're so boring, you have no fun in life. And then he twisted it a little bit and he said this. He said, what is it that you think you're getting out of life that would make you be the kind of guy you are? Well, I began to talk to him about the joys of my faith. I talked to him about what all of this meant to me, and how it is so strong a hold in my life, that I'm confident of where I'm going and what's happening in life and what's important in life and what are the primary issues of life as far as my perspective was concerned and my walk and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he couldn't grasp it. He couldn't get a hold of it. He couldn't get a hold of it. And so he didn't understand. You know, years ago when I was younger, I used to tell people in my congregation, look, I don't have any fun outside here, so I have to have it here. So my fun is with you. You know, sharing with you, laughing with you, crying with you, all of that is the real joy of my life. And I used to tell them that, you know. And some of them understood, some of them didn't. But the fact was, that was exactly true. My fun is in the Lord. My fun is because of my relationship with Him. My fun is sharing the Word of God. My fun is witnessing to somebody about Christ. My fun is talking to somebody and seeing them change in their view and come to receive Christ. That's a real joy. That's fun for me. You see, but it's not the kind of fun that the world would like to have me involved in order to be able to say that I'm a fun guy. And how many of you have ever been called up and told not to come to your reunion? Huh? I have. I got this guy called me on the phone, one of my classmates, and he said, we're having a reunion on such and such a date, and I can't remember now which number it was. I had been to a couple of them before that. But anyway, he mentioned all of this, and he said, but you probably don't want to come. And I said, well, why would that be? And he says, well, he says, you probably wouldn't have any fun. Well, we talked a little bit, and it wasn't long before he was saying, don't come. What he was really saying was, if you're there, we're not going to have any fun. See, they remembered me from high school. I was the one that carried the big Bible. I'm the one that had Bible study after classes at school. I'm the one that talked to people about Christ. I'm the one that was all excited about being a Christian. And it just really put a damper on them, because they felt guilty about what they were doing whenever I was present. So since this is going to be a get-together of all these same people, they actually said, please don't come. Now, did I feel put down on that? No. Did I feel like I'd been rejected? Oh, yeah. But for a good reason. I haven't been back since, by the way. One of these days I'm going to surprise them. But the whole point of this is that faith, when it is active within the life, it encourages the heart to be courageous in all aspects of life, to step out, to trust God, to believe that He is who He is and that He will do what He says He will do. People that the writer has listed here, as we think about it, I was just thinking the other night, and I won't go into detail because you already all know the story about Jericho, but I was thinking, what really came out of Jericho? Well, two things. All based on one thing. The one thing was God got the glory. Because nobody could say we did anything to conquer the city. Apart from God, the walls would have never come down. They'd have still been there fighting. But here's God. God says, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. And sometimes He asks us to do this exactly same thing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up each morning, get yourselves in order, get the trumpeters out front, get ready to march. And then I want you to be quiet. No talking, no screaming, no yelling, nothing. And I want you to walk around the city walls once, and then go back to your camp. What a way to fight a war. Next morning, get up and do it again. Next morning, get up and do it again. Not saying anything, not doing anything, just walking around the city. And you got to know what was going on the walls. Look at those idiots. What do they think they're going to do by walking around the walls? They were confident in their strength. They were confident in their training. And here's a bunch of people who came out of Egypt, and all they are shepherds. They don't really know how to fight. And here they're, what are they doing? It had to be a curious thing, and perhaps a thing of ridicule. And so as I studied this thing in my mind again, and I asked myself the question, where was the courage here? Since he brought this up as a picture of courage, what is the courage here? I don't understand the courage here. Well, the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, the more I began to realize the courage was in this whole idea of I am going to trust God and I'm not going to do anything other than what He says, and I'm going to, when I do that, know that He's going to do something. I don't know what He's going to do here. I mean, it looks impossible to me. But I'm going to do something. I'm just going to simply do what He says. Did you realize how much courage it takes to just do what Jesus says? Just to do what God says? And leave your own ideas out? Leave your own plans out? Now, if they were going to do it their way, they'd have had the ladders. They would have had the fires. They would have had all the stuff necessary to bombard this and lay siege to this city. That ain't what they did. They camped out here. They came in, they marched around, went back to camp. Did the same thing 7 days in a row. Well, we all know what happened on the seventh day. They marched around 7 times. Well, that was different. Once. Here's what it did. First of all, it took away every bit of pride out of Israel, because they were not doing anything to conquer the city. There wasn't anything they could put their hands to or say that we did to in any way siege this city. There's no way. There's nothing. Nothing that we can point our finger to. Absolutely nothing. So we can't take credit for anything. On the other hand, those who are in the city, when they saw the walls begin to crumble and fall and everything doing exactly what God wanted it to do, it took away their pride in their strength, in their safety, in the fact that they were superiorly trained in their armies. It took all that away from them. What happened in the whole picture, if you look at it, is that God created humility in Israel and in those Jericho people, and revealed the one thing he wanted to reveal. God is all powerful and is on the side of Israel. Now, can you imagine the other cities that were beyond Jericho? Because this was a frontier city. And it was supposed to be the one that you just no way anybody could ever get by, could ever lay siege to, or ever win the battle with. It was stronger, had stronger walls, wider walls, thicker walls, higher walls, because they were a frontier city. They were right on the Jordan. And here they are in one big rubble heap. And God gave them to his people. Courage. I want to ask you, are you ready to have the kind of courage that says, I'll stand up, shut up, and just do what God wants me to do and see what he can bring to pass? Now, not only that, but as you go through this, talking about this, conquering the struggle, conquering in the middle of it, we see that at Joshua, in Joshua, but we also see it in Rahab. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Now, we all know the story, so I don't need to go into the whole detail. But here's what happened. Here is one lady with her family who decided, after hearing what God did with Israel in Egypt, and what he was doing along the way, and the battles that he fought on the other side of Jordan, had come to the conclusion in her own mind, I want to be on the winning side of this situation. I do not want to be on the other side, because I've seen what God can do, this Israelite God can do. So in the midst of her own society, in the midst of all those around her who in their pride was so confident that they would win this battle and destroy Israel, one lady said, not me. And when they came to her or her way, she took them and she hid them, because they're talking about the spies now who came into the land to spy out the land. They wanted to kill them all so they would not make this invasion. And Rahab said, come here, I'll take care of you, I'll hide you, and I'll send you on your way safely. And she did so because she trusted and believed in the God of Israel. Now, here's this woman, stands alone perhaps in the entire city, because we don't hear of anybody else there that did this. One person. With all the unbelievers around her, with all of those who were hating Israel, all of those who would have destroyed Israel, all of those who would take them by the sword, she stood up in the middle of it and said, I think differently. I believe differently. I will act differently. And that's what she did. She saved them, believed them, had one request. When you come back with the armies, please remember me. Not only did God remember her and bless her and keep her alive, but if you'll look closely, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. What an honor. Certainly shouldn't be there. She was a prostitute. But there she is. God honored her courage in faith right in the middle of this great struggle that was going on. You see, that's how God's grace works. God's grace works. His mercy is open to anyone who will receive And his grace has always been wider than Israel. We know that time and time again. You know, Rahab didn't have any more light than any of the other people in that city. But with what she had, she trusted and she believed. Listen to her confession. And she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." Wow, they hadn't even come in yet. They hadn't even marched on the land yet. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did with the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Wow. What a testimony coming from a prostitute who all of a sudden has her eyes opened and her life opened and realizes the God of Israel is what we're up against here, and we'd better be on the winning side. And she became blessed because of it, while all the rest were destroyed. Now we have all of the others. It says that if we had the time, we could talk about these others. That's what the writer is saying. I don't have enough time to talk about all these others, so I don't have it this morning either. We're not going to talk about all these others. But there were the ones who literally found themselves in the lion's den, and the mouths were closed, and they walked among the lions who were hungry. But God was there with them. The three Hebrew children in the hottest fire you could ever imagine. Matter of fact, it was so hot that the people took them up there to put them in the oven were destroyed by the heat. And they're walking down there in the midst of the heat. And not even did the clothes smell like they were burned or charcoaled or whatever. Others found that God moved in ways to bring back those whom they'd lost. And they've had people and received people back through resurrections. Just again and again, the victories and the courage of faith. The courage of faith. So my challenge to you this morning is this. When you feel weak, you're not sure what's going to happen in the next thing that you're in or that you're in right now. You're not sure how you're going to work it out, and you're not sure how you're going to get through it. Let me simply say this. Courage that comes through faith will see you through. And the living God who lives inside you will enable you to go through, even though you may feel that you're walking through it with feeble knees or weakness. The victory is His. The battles are testing us. And they test our faith. But when we trust Him and walk through the fire, when we trust Him and walk through the flood, when we trust Him and there are those who are after us with the sword, the victory, just remember it always, the victory is in Jesus. Be courageous. Stand up. Speak the truth. Live it out. The world isn't going to love you anymore if you try to whimper than they're going to if you stand up and speak boldly, because they don't like you anyway. Satan is going to come after you regardless of what you do. As long as you call yourself a Christian, he will be coming after you. But if you stand, faithfully stand, speak the truth, live it, the power of God and the courage of faith will carry you through. It even carried those through who, as the scripture says, refused to be released from torture because they knew that it would bring them a better resurrection.